Hi, everybody, and welcome to Lecture 5 in the American History Program with History at Our House for the elementary class. Today's lecture is entitled, What is a Historical Anchor? As you can see on your screen, so I hope you are curious as to what that is, because you will not encounter such a thing as a historical anchor anywhere else on the planet other than History at Our House. So I guess you're going to want to know what the heck it is, and I'm going to teach you one of those and what they are today. And so just to give you a little preview, a historical anchor, I hope you guys know what an anchor is. If you don't, I'm going to teach you, but a historical anchor is a certain kind of fact. A certain kind of fact from history. Historical anchors are very powerful, very special facts. They are the best facts possible to learn in all of history. If you don't know them, there's no way you can know anything else about history. So, wow, they are really special facts. So I'm going to teach you what that is today. And our historical anchor, I'm going to teach you about this idea of a historical anchor by going back a little bit and reviewing what we know about the world that we live in, and then seeing what it is that an anchor is. So, first of all, I guess a good thing to get into right away is, what is an anchor? When I start introducing this story today of historical anchors, and you probably are curious and confused as to what I'm talking about, that's fine. I have to teach this. This is a new idea, so I have to teach it to you guys. So what is an anchor? Somebody here must have seen an anchor before in their lives. And hold on a second, let me turn off the noises in the classroom. I'm very disturbed that the noises are not being turned off by WebEx, and I'm going to give them an earful. Okay, Rosetta, go ahead. What's an anchor?
An anchor is the ship. It makes the ship stop.
It's something connected to a ship that makes a ship stop. That's not bad. Okay, that's a good start. Who can maybe help us achieve maybe a more precise definition of an anchor? Gabriel?
An anchor is something that drops into the water and sticks there to hold you there.
Okay, so now that's something interesting. That's a little bit more information. That's useful, Gabriel. An anchor is something that you drop into the water from a ship, and then it holds you there somehow. Oh, yeah, that's true. So people use anchors when they're on boats. You throw an anchor overboard, or if it's a really big ship, you've got machines that do it and stuff, and the anchor goes down, and where does the anchor go? And how does an anchor hold you in a particular place? Does anybody know about that? Patrick, where does an anchor go?
It kind of goes in between rocks or the dirt.
Yeah, it goes down to the bottom, right? Okay, good. And then it gets stuck there. I'm going to show you guys an anchor on my screen because no point in holding off on that here. Right? I mean, I think most people know what an anchor looks like. But let me just go ahead and put this anchor on the screen. Let me share my desktop. Yeah, I think that's the best way to go. It shows you maybe more than you need to see, right? But this is an anchor, right? And the chain here is connected up to the ship on the surface, right? Why do anchors have this funny shape? How come anchors are always shaped in this funny way with this kind of a hook? Here. It almost looks like a fishing hook, doesn't it? It has the same shape as a fishing hook. Why is that? Why do anchors look like that? Jeremy?
They hook onto the bed to stop the ship.
Aha, they hook into the bed. Like Patrick was saying, sometimes they get caught on a rock or they go into the sand or whatever. They hook in there and then the chain holds the ship. And no matter what's going on up on top, right, if there's lots of wind, if there's lots of waves, your ship will stay in the same place. That's awesome. So when you're in a ship in the middle of the ocean, you need an anchor. So that's what we're going to be talking about. If you want to stay in the same place, and if you want to know where you are and be there, you need an anchor. So today we're going to talk about things that work like that for understanding the world that we live in. And while we're studying history, we're going to need some anchors in the ocean of history as well. I'm going to explain that in a second. So that's my metaphor for the day, is this idea of going out into a ship, into the ocean, and, well, whenever we get on a boat, my metaphor for history is getting on a ship and going out into the ocean. So here we go. Let's say you're on land. Where do you start, right, when you're going to get in a boat? What is that? Where are boats? Where do you get in a boat? Anywhere on land will do? Or is there maybe a place that's better than other places to get into a boat? Wyatt, Henry? Wyatt, Henry, please. Your sound is not on. Okay, Wyatt, Henry, try to configure your sound. Sigourney, go ahead.
Well, it would be near a dock.
A dock! Perfect, exactly. Okay, here we go. A dock. If you want to get on a ship, your ship has to be at a dock. And so the ship is nice and stable. It's next to land. And look at that. The ship is tied up, right? And it doesn't move, and it's next to the land, and everybody can get on, and then you can get on the ship. Okay, good. All right. And then what do you do after that? Well, you get rid of all the ropes, right? You start to let the ship go into the water, and then you go into what's that safe place where you keep a ship, where the dock is. What's the name for that larger area where there's a lot of docks, where a lot of ships are, and they're safe there next to the land? What do we call that? Nemo?
Harbor.
A harbor. Exactly right. Okay, so we're at here's a harbor. Ooh, cool. Check this out. Look at all those big ships. And where are they, right? They are in a harbor. They have their docks. And, all right, they're in a harbor, and they're safe, right? There's a bridge that takes you out to the ocean. There's probably another place to go out to the ocean. But look how calm the water is here. Look how everything's okay because they're in a harbor. Okay, and then you go out into the ocean. Now, tell me about how do you go out into the ocean and not get completely lost? Out into the water, and there's just you and the water and the sky. Patrick, how does it work?
It's like they have a map computer or just a map.
A map, a computer, different instruments, right? You have to know how to get around, right? Now, that's true. Nowadays, we have all kinds of amazing equipment. And even in the old days, as they say sometimes, right? Like in our painting, the man is standing with maps and books and a lamp, and he's looking at the stars, and he knows how to get around in the world by using those to measure where he is. But before you learn how to do that, when you're just getting started, you go in your boat, and you go out into the ocean, and you learn how to move around. You learn how to move the boat left, you move it right, they call it port and starboard and all that stuff, right? You learn how to move it around, and you make sure that you don't go too far away from sea, right? You don't want to get too far away from the place where you feel comfortable and safe, because, especially if you don't know very well, why don't you want to sail very far away from land? If you don't know very well how to sail. And especially if you don't know very well, perhaps maybe how to read the weather or know about what the weather is. Why do you want to be not too far away from shore? Patrick?
Well, because if you don't know how to steer a ship, it might be possible that you could sink.
You could run into something, right? Crash it and sink. If you don't know the weather, you could get caught in a storm before you get back to shore, right? So you want to stay close to shore, and you want to stay safe, and then you gradually learn more and more. And so what you do is you go further and further out, and then at some point, you get really so far away from land that it feels kind of scary to be out there. But guess what? When you sail out into the ocean this far away from land, See, look at that. The city, you can barely see it now. What's this? What are these useful things that are out there to help people navigate properly the further and further away they get from the land? Nemo, what's that called?
It's a buoy with a light on it.
It's a buoy, right, with a light. It acts kind of like a little floating lighthouse. And, well, does this buoy just float around anywhere in the ocean? Does it go anywhere? Like, you just, oh, hey, there's another buoy moving around in the ocean. Nemo?
It's anchored.
Oh, it's also anchored, right? It's got to stay in exactly the same place. Because if you're in this boat over here, and you want to come in this direction, you got to know that this is the direction to go. Otherwise, the water might be too shallow over here. There might be some big rocks in the bottom. You'll crash your ship. You might be going in the wrong direction that you want to go. There's lots of reasons why you need to be able to go to a place like this that's far away from land, where you can still know where you are, and you can still go back to land if you need to before you go out into this distant ocean where you don't know anything and where it's really scary, and you're gonna have to be very good at getting around there and learning a bunch of new things. And well, in the case of sailing, right, being out in a place that you don't know very well and using only your maps and your computers and other instruments to figure out where you are. Once you leave the land and once you can't see the buoys anymore, boy, are you going to be in a challenging situation. Okay, Jeremy, put your hand down unless you have a question or comment. Okay, so you're going to be in a very challenging situation. All right, so now let's see if I can get you to understand why I'm telling this story about being in a dock, being in a harbor, sailing further away from land and finding a buoy, and then going out completely into the open ocean. This is very much what it is like to study history. It is? What? Sailing is like history? What are you talking about, Mr. Powell? Okay, let's see if Mr. Powell can make sense of this strange story of his. Okay, so let's see. What is the dock of history? What is that place that's safe and comfortable that you live in, where you know everything and you're nicely in a nice, comfortable, safe place? What is that for each and every one of us? What is that place for us in the world that we live in, where we are, you know, very, completely safe, everything is fine, and nothing's mysterious, nothing is difficult to do? Dana, what's that place?
I think it's home.
It's home. Exactly. It's our home. It's our house. This is our nice, safe place. Everything is very simple here. Everything is right in front of us. Mommy and Daddy are taking care of us. Or if we happen to be Mommy and Daddy, we're taking care of you. You know, but anyway, we're in our home. It's our nice, comfortable place. That's our dock. Okay. And then we have to go out. And then, well, the world around us, now we could also say kind of our city, the places where we go to the park, the places, you know, where we go to where other places like school or maybe the football stadium to watch a game or baseball stadium or whatever, and we go to the beach or those places around us, you know, that's our dock. That's our place where we are used to being and when we're comfortable and where we're safe. Okay, and then, as far as history is concerned, then there's this wider world, which is a little bit more dangerous. Once we let go of those ropes in our lives, and we go out a little further than the dock, where are we now in our boating adventure? Once we leave the dock, we are in the, what was the term that I like to use there? Or what's the term for being just outside the dock, Patrick?
I think it's the ocean.
No. We got an in-between location. Let's go back to it. What's the in-between location where you're in this area, but you're not at the dock? Abby?
Harbor.
The harbor. Okay. So now it can be dangerous to go out into the harbor. It can be dangerous to go Mute yourself, Abby. It can be dangerous to get away from the dock and go out into the world. If you're not careful, guess what can happen? Whoops! You better watch out if you're trying to leave the dock. If you make a mistake, you're going to end up like that. That looks like a pretty nice and big boat, right? With about 5-6 different levels. That's a big boat. What happened to it? What's it doing there? Somebody made a big mistake when they left the dock. They went trying to go out into the harbor, and they made a huge mistake, and what happened? The boat got crushed, right? And it sank. Wow. And now you might laugh or you might be afraid or whatever. I mean, you can react different ways, right? This happens. This is not impossible. Sadly, this happens. You got to be careful when you leave the dock and you go out into the harbor. So it's just like that. When you leave your home, when you leave the city that you live in and you go out into the world, it's a complicated place. You better know your way around. You got to get out and learn how to navigate the harbor. Otherwise, you're going to have this problem. Now, this problem's bad enough, right? But if you sink here, you probably be pretty safe, right? Hopefully. You can get out and go on land where those guys are standing, right? Not too bad. Not too bad. What happens if you sink in the middle of the ocean? Ooh, that's not good, Patrick.
You'll need something like a canoe.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a special rescue float.
Right, exactly. It's called a raft, or, you know, ships, or the Coast Guard will come have to help you. It's going to be very much, much more dangerous, right? So being in the harbor is one thing, and then going out into the ocean is another thing. So in history, the harbor that is this kind of still complicated place, but it's closer to us and it's easier to understand, is the present world that we live in. This is our harbor. Let me go back now to our harbor a little bit. Where am I with regard to my harbor? Okay, how am I going to find it? Oh, yes, I think I know how to find it. Oh, I know. I was going to go over here and find it. There we go. Okay, this world that we live in, right? That's our harbor, right? In this world, we, for history, when we're studying the past, we know things about this world. We know that, well, you can travel to all the different parts of it. So Patrick has been to places like Singapore, right, and Brazil. And we know that we have family in different parts of it. Some of us have family in France. Some of us have family in Mexico. Some of us have family in India. There's lots of different places, right? And then we know that we also get lots of things from this world, right? Olive oil from Tunisia and coconut water from Thailand and all these things that we have in our kitchen. Abby, go ahead.
Oh, is my hand still made?
Okay, be careful. I know, it happens. Okay, mute yourself, please. I'm having trouble controlling your sound for some reason, so mute yourself. Okay. Right, so this is this world that we live in. It's complicated enough. Wait till we get out into the ocean of history. History is not just this complicated place that we live in, but it is this great big ocean of knowledge that we need to learn about. So, if we're going to go out into that ocean, we need some of these. Let me go back to it now. Give me a second. All right, we need some of these. I wish I could get there faster, but let me get there as quick as I can. We need some of these in order to be able to sail out from the harbor that we live in. We need to be able to sail out into the world. We need to have these buoys that tell us, here you are, don't worry. If you need to get back to where you are comfortable in your life that you live, use me. I will get you back there. I will help you. Okay, so that is what in history is called a historical anchor. A place that is anchored. A place that is solid, that you can always go back to and connect to on your way back to the comfortable place where you want to go, which is your home, which is your dock, right? Every time you go sailing into the ocean, is that what people do? They just go sailing into the ocean and they stay there for the rest of their lives? In the middle of the ocean? Is that what they do? Patrick, what do? They go out into the ocean and then?
They usually go to a different country.
Yeah, they go to another place, or they go out into the ocean to fish or to do things, and then what do, Nemo?
They come home.
They come back home. So if you're in the middle of the ocean, you're learning about historical facts way out in the past, you've got to come back here. You've got to come back and live here. This is where you live. This world that you are in, the present, where you are, this is where you have to come back to. So you need these guideposts, these markers, these buoys to come back to where you are. No matter where you are in the past, and the past is really big. The past is an ocean of information. So, what is the first anchor, the first history anchor? And it's not like this in this, you know, it's kind of like this, not the same, but hopefully my story, my metaphor is getting through to you, and hopefully you'll be able to explain it to me in your own language. If not, I'm going to have to rethink my story. But basically, I'm trying to give you kind of a good way to think about it. When we are learning some of these crucial facts, because today is our first big fact from history, and I don't want you to just think of it as a fact from the past. I want you to think of it as a place that you can go to that will help you to get back here to the present. I want you to think of it as an anchor, as a kind of buoy for your knowledge when you're trying to know about the past. All right, so what is this amazing fact? Well, it's one that you probably already know. You may know it, you may not know it, but it's one that you may know in some way, shape, or form. And I just want to see if I can bring up another image of it briefly and quickly from, there we go. Here it is. This is it right here. I don't know if we're going to study this painting in History Through Art. Maybe we will. I really like this painting. I think we've done it before in the past. All right? But does anybody know what this is? This moment that is so important to American history and that we must always be thinking of in American history? Jeremy?
Is it when the pilgrims landed?
Nice try. Nope, doesn't have to do with the pilgrims. They come later. And we don't get to have any pilgrims unless we have this. So that's why this is an anchor. So that was a good guess, Jeremy. But there are not going to be any pilgrims coming to America unless this happens first. Abby?
I think it's Columbus landing.
Okay, Columbus discovering America in what year? What is the famous year that Columbus first discovered America? Gabriel?
1492.
Okay, there we are. The first anchor of historical knowledge for American history. If you want to know American history, there is nothing in American history that is not connected to this moment. That doesn't mean everything about Columbus was great. That doesn't mean everybody likes Columbus. But this is the most important moment in all of American history. Without it, there are no pilgrims that some of you perhaps know about. Because what did the pilgrims do? For those of you who are ready to ask that question. What did the pilgrims do if you happen to know about pilgrims before? What did they do, Jeremy?
They colonized themselves in America.
They colonized America. How did they know America was there?
Because Columbus discovered it.
Yeah, okay. All right, good. So we're on our way here. All right, how can there be an American history if the people of Europe didn't know it existed? Now, we know this is our harbor. This is our harbor. Americans speak English. That's a language from Europe. How did the English language get to America? How did the Spanish language get over here? How did the Portuguese language get over here? And how did the English language get over here? I guarantee you, none of those people, so-called Native Americans, were speaking those languages. So, how did they get over here, Jeremy?
Because Columbus sailed over the ocean to America.
And showed those people in Europe that there was a place called America. And then they started to think, okay, what are we going to do about that? How interesting is that fact? So why do people in the Americas speak Spanish, Portuguese, French, and English? Well, because Columbus discovered America. Why do we live in a world, last question for today, having to do with our harbor again, why do we live in a world that is so interconnected? Well, remember that word? That was our theme from the last class. We travel to different places in the world. We trade with different places in the world. We have family in different places in the world. We are connected in many different ways. That means interconnected. How come we are in a world that is interconnected and in which America is connected to the rest of the world? Abby, take it away. I can't unmute Abby. There's some kind of fascinating technical problem with WebEx. I cannot unmute you. So unmute yourself, Abby, if you want to speak up. Sorry, it's one of those technical glitches. Okay, but... Oh, you guys should be able to answer this one. The answer is always the same to all of these questions. Nemo, go ahead.
Science and technology.
Oh, that's too broad. That's too broad. The answer is because Columbus discovered America. How could America be part of this globalized world, this interconnected world, if nobody had connected it to the rest of the world? How do you connect something for the first time? How did Columbus connect it to the rest of the world, Abby?
Is my hand up?
No, you are unmuted now. You're having an interesting day, technically.
Okay. How did Columbus connect to the world? He sailed to... Didn't he sail somewhere in one of the islands near South America?
No, not quite, but all right, we don't have to be so worried about the details. He sailed from Europe to America. So that's how he connected it. He traveled like you and I do in this present day, except he did it without even knowing that it was there. And then when he got there, he went, wait a minute! He thought it was Asia at first, and it took a long time for anybody in the world to understand there was a place called America! Oh my gosh, and it got named that way wrongly because there was another guy. We'll talk about him. So anyway, but yeah, he connected it. So why are we here? How did the world become the kind of world that it is? Well, one of the reasons why is that Columbus discovered America in 1492. All right, we're going to start with that. That is as far as we can go for today. Okay, well, I'm going to see if that sailing metaphor took hold. And if it didn't, we might have to rework it a little bit. But I like the sailing metaphor because we're going to go and look at our history through art. And we're going to see a mariner there, of course. You might already know which mariner it is and how relevant that is. And we'll talk about, again, going into history to understand the world that we live in. That's our goal. That's our goal. Okay. Thoughts, questions, confusions? Patrick, go ahead.
When you had showed the picture with Columbus, I had seen some other people in the trees. Were those the Indians?
Yes, that is right. So nowadays, people don't call them Indians, but yes, these were the natives, the people who were living on this island that Columbus arrived at. Yes. We'll talk about that later. Okay. Somebody else? Abby, let's try you.
When you brought up the map, I saw something in a gray part of the world.
Yeah.
That one of these countries seemed to be only 3/4 filled.
Which one is that?
It's... I don't know if you can see my mouse, but it's one of the bottom ones on the gray area. It's not in the...
Over
it's
here?
Not, no, it's the darker gray area, the other European.
Oh, well, I'm not sure still which it is, but that's not really America. So you'll have to go look on a map of the world to see if you can sort that out. They're filled in as they need to be, as far as I can tell, but I didn't fill in parts of countries. So you might just have to go check your map and figure it out. Okay. All right. Well, that is indeed all we have time for. So I'm going to have to stop there. So thank you, everybody. And we will continue this with History Through Art tomorrow. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.